Amen. Thank you, Carol. What a blessing. That's a great song. Look at verse 4 in our passage, chapter 43 of Isaiah, verse 4. Amazing words, since thou wast precious in my sight. I want you to understand today that in God's sight, you're here today as a Christian, you're saved, you've trusted Christ. Understand, you are precious to Him. That's an amazing thing. You are precious since thou was precious in my sight. I love that. That just blows my mind. That because you say, well, preacher, I know me. Yeah, yeah. And He knows us too. And He knows what we've done. And yet He says, you're precious in my sight. I mean, He knows your past, knows all about it, knows even what you did yesterday. And He says, you're precious to me. Boy, that's an amazing, amazing thing in the Scripture. And I want you to think about that today. That is the title of the message, Since Thou Wast Precious. Father, bless now, please, the preaching of Thy Word. And I thank You for everyone who's gathered here today. And Lord, I know that it's no accident that we're here. We're here gathered on purpose. And You've given a message from Your Word that will help every one of us if we'll simply let it help. And so I pray that You will speak to our hearts, that Your Holy Spirit will move upon this place, and God, that Your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. These are amazing words given to God's people. Now, some would say that's the Jews, but He's very clear that it's His people. He said, every one that is called by My name, these are words for you and I who are saved. Now, if you're here today without Christ, you should look at these words and you should say, wow, I'm missing out. I mean, not only do we get saved because we don't want to go to hell, but I'll be honest with you, I'd get saved because I want to go to heaven, but I also want to have a Christian life. There is no better life in all the world. Let the world say whatever they want about all the stuff that goes on out there and all the things that they do. There's no greater life than the Christian life. There's no greater joy than to know that I am precious to God. No greater joy than to know that all that God's created and all that God has done, He doesn't say anything about the mountains being precious, although they're amazing, right? He doesn't say anything about the oceans being precious, although that's an amazing thing when you think about it. No, He says about us. He says, you're precious. You're precious to me. And I love that. Those are amazing words. They're amazing to me because I know me. They should be amazing to you because you know, we know us. We know that we're sinners. And yet the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, while, it's not when I was doing good things. It's not while I was doing right things. It was while I was a sinner, Christ died for me. That's an amazing, amazing thing right there. The Bible says that our righteousnesses, in fact, it's right in Isaiah, our righteousnesses, that means all of our good things, He says, they're as filthy rags. Oh, man, that doesn't sound good. And yet, He still says that I'm precious to Him. Wow. I mean, all the good that I do, He just says, it's like filthy rags. Why? Because of all the bad that I've done. But because Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins. He says, you know what? You're precious to me. You're precious to me. Wow. You know, it's interesting. Those who worship the little g gods, you know, the small g gods, anything but God, those that worship all the others or any other god, isn't it interesting how the worshipers have to do something? You know, they all have to do something to appease their little g god so they can be saved. A woman will throw her child to the crocodiles in some countries, and people will kill other people for their little g god. Isn't it interesting? Our God sent His own Son to die on the cross. There is, in fact, He made it very clear, there's nothing that you and I can do to save ourselves. He made it very, very clear that there is nothing that you and I, no religious thing we can do, no a type of appeasement that we can come up with to save our souls. So He sent His own Son, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Amen. And what do I have to do? Well, you have to receive that gift, which is called the gift of God. which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so all the people that, you know, you people are crazy, you're not, while they do all their works and all their things and all, you know, some are going all around the neighborhoods and they're peddling their things and trying to give you this and give you that and all the different kind of things in order to save them. Our God said, there's nothing you can do to save yourself. Amen. I've already done it. And he sent his son to die. That should just thrill your soul today as it thrills mine. Since thou wast precious in my sight. You see, there was nothing we could do, so he did it. And since I was precious in his sight, he made a way for me to be saved. Notice Isaiah 53, just a few pages over, Isaiah 53, in a familiar passage of prophecy, talking about the Lord Jesus and how he would die. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he, talking about Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, talking about our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We, talking about you and I, we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He died for you and I, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. The man who never sinned, never cussed, never swore, never lied, no sin ever committed, never an evil, wicked thought. The man that was sinless, the man that came to die on the cross, he died. Could have called thousands of angels to take him off that cross, but he died for you and I. And notice what it says in verse 10, absolutely amazing. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord, the Father. It pleased him. It pleased him. Why? Because I was precious in his sight. Because you were precious in his sight. Oh, let me tell you, when Jesus, there's nothing more awful than the death of the cross. The cat of nine tails lashing across the body of the victim, and in this case, the Lord Jesus, and literally peeling his flesh from his body. Nothing more terrible than to hang on a cross and literally to try to push yourself up to breathe and to gasp as hard as you can. There's nothing. And my Bible says, though, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And there's only one reason, because I'm precious, because you're precious. Oh, dear Christian friend, don't get this idea that, and take for granted your salvation. Do not take for granted today that you call yourself a child of God, because it cost Jesus everything, but it pleased the Father because we're precious to him. I want to show you some things, and since we're precious, I want to show you exactly how the Bible, I believe, comes to that conclusion. Number one is his purchase, his purchase. Verse 1, he says this, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee." His purchase, I have redeemed thee. He paid the debt that was owed for my sin. He purchased my salvation. Therefore, I am precious to him. He paid the price that had to be paid, that no one else could pay. And he paid that price, and therefore I am precious to him because of his purchase. I was thinking about this and thinking about my first contacts. I remember when contacts first came out. Now, when I was in elementary school, I had to get glasses. In fact, I think I was 5 or 6 years old, and somewhere in there, I tried to learn how to ride a bicycle. And my parents just thought I was stupid because I kept running into trees. I mean, literally, I get on my bicycle and I'm doing great, and I ran into a tree. And they just thought, you know, does this kid have problems? I mean, is there a disconnect somewhere? I mean, does he just like torture? But finally, they took me to the eye doctor, and they found out why I kept running into things. And it was because I couldn't see, and I got glasses. Now, again, my eyes were very, very bad when I was in elementary school. And I had Coke bottle glasses. Remember Coke bottle glasses? And the glass glasses. I'm talking about before, you know, all the fancy plastics that they have today. Mine weren't fancy. They were just Coke bottle glasses. It's amazing to watch some of the glasses young people are wearing today, and they look like the glasses that I wore, and I thought they were really dumb looking. But anyway, I'm not telling you look dumb. But anyway, my glasses, they were those big, thick, you know, thick rim glasses, and they were real thick glasses. And they look like Coke bottles. And I'm in elementary school, and I mean, I heard everything, you know, four eyes and everything else. Well, contacts came out, and I said, oh, contacts. And I'm going into seventh grade, and I'm cool. I want to be cool. Okay, you know, and there's all shades of cool, if you understand. And I want to get rid of these glasses because I've been made fun of all my life. And I want to get rid of these glasses. So I got my first remember the first contacts? They were plastic, hard plastic. How many of you wore contacts like that? All right, several people did. And we were so excited till we put them on. I'll never forget my first day putting on those plastic contacts. I mean, it's like, oh, I mean, tears are everywhere. And I was cool, you know, tears are flowing down my face. I mean, seriously, I'm just being as cool as can be. But boy, I like my contacts. And I remember, you know, people, hey, why are you crying? I'm not crying, I'm tough, you know. And you got to be tough when you're a young man and you're wearing contacts. But seventh grade, I had those plastic contacts. I was so excited till I lost the first one. I remember we were playing basketball out on the, we had a little basketball court, and all the neighborhood guys came out and played. And those plastic, I mean, they were thick, they were hard. They didn't stay in very well many, many times. I'd get one in the corner of my eye. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about that hard plastic. They'd get in the corner of my eye, and somebody'd say, there's a blue dot in your eye. Oh, that's my contact. It came off, and it was in the corner of my eye. Sometimes I'd think they were going to roll back and get in my brain, you know, but they can't. But you know what I mean? They'd get up in there, and I mean, it would scratch, and it would hurt, and your eyes would be sore, but I was cool. You know, with bloodshot eyes, you're cool. But I remember playing basketball, and right in the middle of probably a near dunk against me, all of a sudden I blinked and my contact fell out. And I mean, it's almost like I say, stop! You know, guy's in the middle of his shot, you know, he's rebounding, and everybody just stopped right there. And I said, okay, don't anybody move. Somebody moved, and I heard, and there was my contact in pieces. By the way, don't ever try to put one in your eye that's in pieces. Okay. Some of you are not even going to smile. I can tell that. Well, you know, it was football, it was basketball, it was baseball, it was every sport, it was wrestling, it was running, it was jumping, it was everything that guys do, it was in the woods, it was sledding, it was all those activities. And after I lost six in about 3 years, six contacts, that I don't remember how much they were back then, but it was very, very expensive. I lost six, and after that, and you know, My dad, each time, he's saying, now, son, you know, you need to be careful. Oh, dad, I'm being careful. Blink, and there it goes. You ever look for a contact in the grass? It's just not, you know. But he says, son, you really have to be careful. And I said, dad, I am being careful. He said, okay, listen, this is the last one I'm buying. He said, you lose one more. He said, that's the last one. I'm not going to buy anymore. Well, sure enough, I was out in the field, I think riding dirt bikes or something, and I got dust in my eye or something, started messing with it, wind's blowing. You know, you ever mess with it, and all of a sudden, you know, it pops out, and the wind goes, whoosh. Huh. Well, you can't see anyway, so anyway, you get it. So Dad said, that's it. I'm not buying anymore. This next one's yours. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing when I bought that next contact, and I paid for it with my own money. Isn't it amazing? It's amazing how careful I was from then on. You know, I thought I was being careful when Dad bought one. I thought I was being careful all those times. But when I had to buy it, and I didn't have a whole lot of money, and I had to buy that contact, all of a sudden everything changes. You know, all of a sudden you're playing basketball, and you go up for a shot, and you go like this. because the guy's about ready to hit you, you know? You say you make the shot, who cares? I'm not spending the money, I'll tell you that. Why? Because I purchase it. You understand why we're so precious to God? Because he paid the debt we couldn't pay. Oh, you know, you say, yeah, but I know me. I ain't worth much. You're worth the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what you're worth. You say, yeah, but I know what I... It doesn't matter what you've done. It's all about what he did. I'm not precious because of something I did. I'm precious because of what he did. And I'm precious to him because he sent his only begotten son to die for me. Wow. You know what? He purchased us, and we are precious to him. The word is, I redeemed thee. What's that mean? That means the transaction is complete. It's done. It cannot be undone. I like this story. I tell this story a lot of times about one time I was in the store. Brenda wanted a little Curio jewelry box or something like that. I don't know what it was. And it matched all of our wood colors and everything. And so she was wanting this little Curio cabinet kind of a thing. And the store had it on sale. And I saw that it was on sale. And immediately I'm thinking about, okay, number one, I don't like going to the store. Number two, I don't like fighting women for deals, you know. You just, there's something about that. I try to keep that, you know, that man cool kind of thing. So I went in the store and I got my little cart and I'm going around trying to buy her Christmas presents. I believe it was Christmas. And so I'm being real casual. I'm not going to rush to the aisle. I'm not going to, you know, knock people down to get, I'm going to be cool. So I get to the aisle and I kind of glance and over here, there's one of those things left. Okay, one of those Curio cabinets. And I'm kind of looking. I'm not going to run over there and grab it like some of you would, okay, because I'm going to be cool. And so I casually take my little cart over there, and I reach and I grab the thing. And there's a woman over here watching. She had just come around the corner, and I put it in my little cart, and I look over, and I kind of, in my mind, I'm going, nah, 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 nah. But anyway, you know, I don't know if she really wanted it. But anyway, so I, you know, I got to shopping around. Well, I kept noticing this woman. And she's kind of walking around, you know, and she seems to be, you know, in all the different areas where I am. And so I got my cart, got different things. And so I walked away from my cart. And as I turned to look, the woman is taking my cart. Can you believe that? It's probably one of you. But I wasn't real sure, you know, I'm a pastor. I got to be cool. But instead of being cool, I said, hey, stop. I mean, she did, you know, and again, I mean, it was an amazing thing, and she had my cart. Now, you know, here's the thing. The truth of the matter is that wasn't mine until I bought it. She could have just gone off and bought it herself, and that was what she was after. She was heartbroken. You say, well, you should have just given it to her. What about my wife? What about me? Anyway, so I went and I bought the thing, but the truth is, until I paid for it, it wasn't mine. Now, here's what you have to understand, folks. Jesus Christ paid the debt for our sin. And on the cross, he said, it is finished. Transaction has been made. Price has been paid. Therefore, in chapter 43 and verse 1, he starts off saying, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Amen. The devil can't do anything about it. Now that lady, honestly, she could have gone ahead, grabbed that cart, and made the sale herself. There was nothing I could have done. Really, honestly, she could have tripped me. She could have punched me. She could have thrown things at me, you know, like you do in the when there's deals and blue light specials and all that. And she could have done all those kind of things. But the fact of the matter is, I got the cart back. I went through the checkout line and I had the little bill of sale. And as I walked out, I saw her and I said, no, I didn't really do that. But I was thinking it. And because there's not a thing she can do now. Amen. And you know what? Here's what I do to the devil. I say, because there's not a thing he can do now. Nothing. Why? Because the price is paid. The sale has taken place. And that's why I'm precious to Him. I'm precious to Him. Since thou was precious in my sight. Number one is purchase. Number two is His pursuit. He says also in verse 1, He says, I have called thee by thy name. His pursuit. I've called thee by thy name. It's so amazing, God's call. It's so amazing to me. Saul is on the road to Damascus to kill Christians. If this were that day, according to the book of Acts, if this were that day, Saul would be in a little caravan on his way here to start throwing some of us in jail and killing some. And he was on his way to Damascus. He was on the road to Damascus. He was going to kill Christians. And Jesus called out to him, Saul, Saul. You know one of the most amazing things about that is he called his name. He knows you. Saul, why persecutest thou me? Lord, is that you? Oh, man, that's amazing to me. His pursuit. Zacchaeus was in a tree, just curious. Just kind of, you know, he's a little short guy. He can't see past the crowd. And so he climbs up in a tree, and Jesus, the crowds are everywhere. And he looks up and says, Zacchaeus, come on. Do you ever, Zacchaeus has to think, how does he know me? He knows you. And his pursuit, doesn't that amaze you? I'll tell you what, it amazes me. How he pursued me. The things that he did so that I would hear how to be saved. The times that he put the gospel in front of me so that I would hear how I could be saved. He called me. So many times I was on that road to Damascus. I was up in that tree. Oh, I was curious about what was going on, but he called my name. You know conviction. When your heart starts to race, your hands get all sweaty. As was illustrated, somebody preached recently, you grab the back of the pew in front of you and you hold on tight like you think that's going to save you, right? Yeah, what is all that? That's God. That's his pursuit after you. Then, see, to me, that's one of the most amazing things about my salvation is he sought me. And all the circumstances that take place in our lives that cause us to finally say, is that you, Lord? I love it. His pursuit. And you know, the thing is, after I got saved, he still calls me. Over and over and over. He still calls my name. He leads me. His Holy Spirit guides me. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he calls my name. You know, his pursuit after, just constantly after. I'll have Christians say, you know, I'm doing this, and I know it's not right, but I just can't get any sleep, and I can't, you know, and I wake up in the middle of the night, and all this stuff's happening, and I know God wants to. That's the whole key right there. He's still calling you. He's still pursuing you. Why? Because you're precious. You're precious to him. His purchase, his pursuit, number three, is his purpose. He says in verse 1, chapter 43, 1, he says, thou art mine. Thou art mine. He has a purpose. You know, he has a purpose for our lives. What's he say? Notice verse 7. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I formed him. Yea, I have made him. God did that. You know, next time you gripe about your ears being too big, God made them. He formed you. Oh, I wish I had a different nose. Thank God you can breathe. He formed you. And he has a purpose for you. It's just amazing to me. Because we're precious to him. He didn't just save you so you could sit. He has a purpose for your life. You're his. Bought with a price. No greater price. You think you've spent money on things. You and I, we think somehow we've spent a lot of money. I got news for you. There's no greater price than the price that was paid by sending his son Jesus to die on the cross. And he says, therefore, glorify God in your body and spirit, which are God's. You say, I just bought a car. That's nothing compared to the price he paid. But guess what? You expect your car to work, don't you? You expect your car, when you turn that key on, you expect it to start, don't you? In fact, you get pretty upset if it doesn't, right? You go out and it's real cold outside and you go turn the key and it goes click, 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 or to tease you a little bit, it goes. And you call your car names. And your wife says, honey, the car doesn't hear, but I do. You know what I'm talking about. But it's no different than your washing machine. You expect it to work, right? That's why you paid for it, so that it will do its thing. So it'll agitate. And I don't mean agitate when you do the little button and it doesn't do what it's supposed to do. I'm talking about so it'll go, you know, and get all your clothes clean and all that kind of stuff. You didn't buy the washing machine to just sit. I don't know if anybody does that. You want it to work. God has a purpose for our lives. That's an amazing thing. He said in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 18, ye shall be my sons and daughters. I love that. Ye shall be my sons and daughters. So he has a purpose for you. Amen. What? Well, what is it to be his son or his daughter? That's his purpose. Isn't that good? Wow, that's pretty neat. Psalm 100, verse 3, it says, we are his people. We're his people. We're not his people, we're his people. Amen. And he claims me as his people. Ephesians 2:10, it says this, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I don't know how many years ago it was. Years and years. Well, I know I was a kid, so it was a long time ago. We had a, remember paper milk jugs? How many of you? Some remember glass milk jugs, right? And but anyway, those paper milk jugs, you would, I don't really know how to describe it. But anyway, the big paper milk jugs, you could open them up so that they were, the whole thing was open. Anyway, and a lot of art projects were done. Well, we decided for Mother's Day, well, we didn't, the teacher decided, for Mother's Day that we were going to make Mom a wastebasket. And so we got that, we brought in our paper milk jug. It was all a surprise. Mom, do you have a paper milk jug? I can't tell you why. Remember those days? And then we got little magazines, and we tore the pages out of the magazines, and we rolled the paper, and we taped it, and then we glued that rolled up paper all around the milk jug. You follow me? So that it was now beautiful. And on Mother's Day, I gave that to Mom. Do you know? You know, moms just know how to. I mean, honestly, to this day, I think that is going to be the dumbest looking thing. But Mom, to her, that was the greatest thing. You know what's amazing to me? And I've said amazing like 40 times today already. I know that. I understand. But after Mom died, we were going through Mom's things, and after all those years, do you know what she kept all those years? That wastebasket that I made out of that paper milk jug. You know why? It was precious to her. And it was something that was created. We're precious to God because he made us. He made us. He created us unto good works. And nothing pleases him more than when we do those good works. You know, do you think God looks down and says, look at him gathered in church. Listen to them singing that song. Listen to the choir singing about praise the Lord. God loves that. Why? Because we're his creation. And we're precious to him. And he looks upon us like you look at some of those little doodads you've made and you think, wow, that's something. I'll be honest with you. And I think somewhere we have that thing. I'm not sure, but my wife's not here to nod her head yes or no, but I'm pretty sure we have that thing somewhere. And now, you know how precious that is to me now? I made that for my mom, and it meant enough to her that she should have thrown it out years ago, but she didn't. You ever think God should have thrown you out years ago, but he didn't? You know why? You're precious. You're precious. Love the story. The fig tree wouldn't bring forth any fruit. You know? Just wouldn't bring forth any fruit. He said, leave it alone. I'll dig in dung around it. And what's he saying? I'll fertilize. I'm going to give it another shot. Boy, has he given me chance after chance after chance. Why is that? Because I'm precious to him. Isn't that good? I love it. We're his workmanship. That's his purpose. Job 1, verse 8, hast thou considered my servant Job? You know the story, huh? What's that mean? I'm his servant. Acts 5, verse 32, and we are his witnesses. We're precious to him. He has a purpose for us. Serve him. Be a witness. Be his workmanship. Be his people. Be his sons. Be his daughters. We're precious because of his purpose. Number four, we're precious, and he proves that by his presence. Verse 2, it says this, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. His presence, I'm with thee. I like Matt's testimony the other night on Wednesday night. I got excited. I don't know why you didn't tell me that sooner. I'm a little hurt. Because I love stuff like that. Matt, of course, Matt has a brain injury, and sometimes he wanders. And recently he was wandering, and he has no idea when this happened. But somewhere along the line, he was in his wandering, he had scribbled words on his hand. And I believe it was never alone. Was that it? Something like that. And when he came to, he noticed that, never alone. Isn't that good? That's a great truth, though. You know, you're never alone. Why? Because God says, I'm with you. Why is he with me? Because I'm precious. Amen? Never alone, through the waters, through the fire, doesn't matter. He says, because you're precious to me, I want to be with you. Boy, you know, Adam and Eve in the garden, we don't hear Adam and Eve saying, boy, I really miss God when they sinned. We don't see Adam and Eve talking and them saying, I'm sure going to miss the fellowship with God. No, what are they doing? They're trying to figure out how they can get away with it. But there's God. Adam, where are you? You know who missed it? God missed the fellowship. Why? Because they're precious. Precious. He wants to be with us. He wants to guard us. He wants to protect us. He wants to comfort us. He says in verse 5, fear not, again, the second time, I am with thee. Fear not. Verse 6, I'll say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far. Talking about delivering them from the captivity. Why? Because they're precious. His presence is with you because you're precious to him. Oh, you say, I'm surrounded, I'm in trouble. But you're never in trouble when he's with you. He said, lo, I am with you always. Amen. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. His presence. And then the last thing, number five, is his passion. His passion. I said number one, I talked about his purchase. Number two, his pursuit. He's called me. Number three is his purpose. We're his. Number four is his presence. I'm with thee. Number five is his passion. Verse four, he says this, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. His passion is, I love you. For God so loved the world. That's wonderful, but there's something even better than that. And I love that verse, but there's something better, and that is, he loves me. I'm glad he loves everybody, but I'm really excited today because he loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I don't know if there's a greater hymn in the Bible. Greater song. We say, oh, that's a children's song. That's a big people song. Why? Because he loves me. You can say, oh, he loves you. And it's wonderful. When I say, Kathy, did you know Jesus loves you? I love saying that, Phyllis. Jesus loves you. Isn't that great? But it just doesn't thrill my soul as much as when I realize he loves me. He loves me. His passion is, I love you. He said, I have loved you. That means before the foundation of this world, he loved me. In my mother's womb, he loved me. He loved me enough to convict me and convince me that while I was a sinner, he died for me. He loved me. He loved me when I got saved. He loved me as a newborn Christian. The Bible says you must be born again. And as a newborn babe in Christ, he loved me as I got up and tried to walk and I stumbled. He loved me. And he loved me when I fell. And he loved me when I was able to walk and to grow. And as a growing child, he loved me. And as a disobedient child, he loved me. You say, how do you know? Because whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Amen. And he loved me all that time. And as a prodigal in the pig pen, eating the food that the pigs wouldn't eat. He loved me. Wow. And the times that I've had to return to the Father. And there he was at the door looking out. Isn't that wonderful to know that he's looking out? You'd think he'd just go about his own way and do his own thing, but no. The Bible's very clear. The Father was, he was looking and he saw him way out there. You know, I think that's my son. Coming home. And he loves me. And all along my journey, he has loved me. And all along the journey I have left, he will love me. Why? How do you know? Because I'm precious. I'm precious to him. And then, of course, when that time comes, if the rapture doesn't take place, when it's time to die, isn't it wonderful that the Bible is so clear in Psalm 116 and verse 15? What's it say? It says this, it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Oh, I know. You know, others cry, others weep, there's sorrow, and there always is, and it's tough. And we just lost a good man, went to heaven recently. But remember this, in the sight of our Father, he says, come on home, son. Come on home, child. Now you can enter into the glory of the Lord. Now you can enter in. See the mansion that I built for you? Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. It's precious to him. Precious all along the way. Today you say, you know, I've been beat up this week. Well, praise God. You know, you're precious to God. You're precious to God. Well, you know, somebody called me name. They said, I'm this and that. And you know, I'm starting to kind of believe. Well, let me tell you this. If you're saved, you're precious to him. You're precious to God. Don't listen to what everybody else says. Listen to what God says. Because his purchase, he redeemed you. He paid for you. His pursuit, he called you. His purpose, you're his. You belong to him. His presence, he said, I'm with you. I'll never leave you. His passion is, I love you. I love you. And I have loved you, and I will keep loving you. And you know what? All through eternity, he's going to keep loving us. Absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful truth. But if you're here today without Christ, you've never been saved. These things are not true for you. And I hope you're sitting there thinking, you know what? I'd like that in my life. I'd like to have a God in my life like that. You've tried to please all these other gods. You've tried to do all these other things. How about surrendering today to the one who did it for you? How about turning today to the one who died on the cross for you? Let's bow our heads, please. Close our eyes.